Welcome to another edition on location of In the Garden. And I am Kelly Casey, your host. Today, I'm very pleased to be at an early morning opportunity at the Master Gardener Station here in the Washington County Fair. I love the fair, and there's so many things to learn. And today, we're going to talk to a couple of our Master Gardeners here at the station to find out what they can teach everyone. It's a free exhibit. It's a wonderful expanded garden that they've got out here. And right now, we're going to start talking about herbs, and with us is Randy Franke, and he's got all the answers, don't you, Randy?
Well, most of them, I would hope, but good morning, and thank you for having me.
It was really nice for you to step up first thing this morning before things really got, the dew is, you know, still collecting on the hosta leaves, but you're going to tell us a little bit about herbs and educating people on, number one, how to grow them, what they are, and why they're beneficial to put into your garden.
That's right. This year is the first year for us doing the herb talk here in our education center at the tent kind of off in the picnic area. Mm-hmm. But what we've got out here is 11 different examples of potted herbs, and we bring the people through all of the stages of them, like when to plant them, how to plant them, how to care for them, what the herbs look like, smell like, taste like. This is a real hands-on thing here. We have folks that are wearing food service gloves and sterilized scissors, cutting samples and giving tastes and mm-hmm. all, so people can really understand what they are. But then once we've demonstrated and talked about the herbs, then we follow up with, what do you do with them once you have them?
What's the most common question that people have about herbs if they have it? First of all, is it herbs or herbs?
It's herbs.
Okay. So. And what do people really want to know? Is it the practical application? And especially, we live in a 6-month winter zone. Are people encouraged to bring them indoors? Do they want to do that? What's the general feeling?
That is one of the questions that we get frequently out here is, can I bring my herbs in the fall and keep them inside? The answer is, if you have a greenhouse set up inside, and a greenhouse can be just a small self-contained unit, but you need grow lights. Mm-hmm. And there's just insufficient light from the sun over the winter months.
Even in a southern or western winter window?
Even if you have them in a window. Okay. I tried that. I had a basil plant I was so proud of a couple of years ago. I brought it in and I watched it over the course of the winter as the leaves got fewer and smaller on it as it progressed through mm-hmm. the season. So.
Now, there's nothing like fresh herbs. I'm not a great chef. I don't use a lot of fresh herbs, but when they are used in a dish that I am tasting, I can really taste the difference, the freshness.
Absolutely. And here we emphasize the fact that there are a number of herbs that are on the very succulent side, the very tender side, mm-hmm. I would say. Such as cilantro. And cilantro, of course, goes into wonderful things like pico de gallo, and it can go into Thai peanut sauce sort of thing with chicken satay. And
it's used all over the world.
And it is extremely popular. It is also referred to as Chinese parsley.
Okay.
And the Chinese use cilantro in many dishes. It's used a lot in Indian culture as well. And, of course, cilantro is one of my favorites because when the plant bolts and goes to seed, you have your second herb, which is coriander.
I didn't know that. Something that you learn only here at the garden. And again, our In the Garden show is coming to you from the Washington County Fair. We are just so happy to have Randy Franke here, and he's telling us all about herbs. Randy, you've been a Master Gardener since 2019. Were herbs your gateway to getting into this extraordinary group?
Herbs were not my gateway. It's one of the secondary things that happened here, and I think there was someone in the group that recognized that I had a passion for herbs and asked if I would advance that thought a little bit, and that's how we developed this particular course.
Well, tell us a little bit more about some of the other herbs that are fairly easy to grow, and what is some nemesis to growing herbs in the outdoors?
Oh, great question. One of my favorite herbs is basil. And anybody who likes bruschetta, think tomato sauces and Italian dishes, that sort of thing. And basil is your friend for that. But unfortunately, basil also attracts Japanese beetles like everything. So
do you recommend then, if you have an herb garden, that you place it in away from your blooming plants, from other things, to keep from inviting those terrible JB, I don't even like to say the full name.
Right.
And is it possible that you can isolate to protect?
Once you have JBs in your yard, they're everywhere and they're pervasive. But I will tell you, my basil just this last week was starting to go to seed, and you need to trim the bud heads off of mm-hmm. them to keep the leaves viable. So we trimmed them down, and I happen to have a mesh bag that I put over there. It's a white mesh, and it's the same thing that a lot of the vineyards use to cover their grapes, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Works wonderfully to exclude the Japanese beetles, which is really the only cure for getting rid of them.
Mm-hmm. And still lets the light through, and you can still water through it, so yep. the plant can still thrive. And it's a very, very fine mesh. I would liken it to a wire mesh, and that will protect them against those terrible chompers.
It really does, and it lets most of the sunlight and UV through, although I have noticed that over a number of weeks of having the mesh over it, that the plant color has lightened up mm-hmm. just a little bit. But it's a trade-off versus whether you have a little bit lighter basil or no basil at all if you didn't cover it.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit more about some of these other herbs that we have here, and they are in containers. And once again, Randy's telling us that you could winter those over, but only if you have a greenhouse type of environment. I think something that's popular is what they call the greenhouse window. And if you have something like that, it's an outshoot there, you would actually have to put some plastic across that, though, to preserve the humidity, make sure that you have a greenhouse environment to keep those thriving. So what else do we have? It looks like we have some parsley. Now, is that probably the most unrespected herb?
It truly is. And anybody who was around in the 70s and earlier would remember parsley from their visit to a supper club as the one and only garnish that ever went on a plate.
The only green thing in the place.
That is correct. Otherwise, you got brown food and one sprig of green parsley.
That's right.
But it is such a wonderful taste and can be added to so many things, just snipped fresh into salads to dress up things like potato salads or any kind of pasta salads. And it combines and pairs really well with a lot of other herbs.
Speaking of snipping, let's look at the chives, and that's something that I like to snip. And you were telling us that in the interactive herb demonstration that you have here at the Washington County Fair, that you take a sterilized scissor and give people an idea of, I mean, it looks like, if you're not looking close enough, it just looks like a stand of grass.
It really does, and chive is maybe a little bit misunderstood, misrepresented sort of thing. Think of green onion tops when you think of chive. Very similar, very versatile. It is one of the things that pairs really well with parsley as far as snipping fresh into mm-hmm. things. Dill is another one that goes along with that, and dill can be more than just a garnish for on top of fish, for example.
Or making pickles.
Or the most widely used thing in making pickle. Absolutely.
Now, speaking of dill, I've had some experience with dill in a regular garden, and they can be quite invasive.
Dill can be, but dill's easy to pull and easy to control that way, so it's the elimination thing. It's dill is not a tough thing to pull. It comes up in my at-grade garden every single year, and I just figure out where is a convenient spot, and I leave a stand of it there and just pull the rest.
Okay, we've talked about parsley. Let's go on to rosemary and thyme.
Rosemary and thyme, and I'm glad you picked the two. I'll start out by giving you a recipe for this. Rosemary and grows in stalks, and rosemary is a perennial plant, and in California, they grow it into hedges. And And I will take a sprig of rosemary and a couple of sprigs of thyme and put it on a hot grill and then lay a steak on top of that. And what happens is that the cooking cooks the herb and infuses the flavor of the herb right up into the meat. And if you want an herbed steak, that's an easy, delightful way to get it, and your guests will just wonder what you've done.
That sounds like a great idea, Randy. Now, speaking of that infusion, a lot of people use herbs to make infused vinegars and other kinds of marinades. Can you tell us how easy that is to do?
Oh, it's very simple to do. Just picking your favorite herb, and it's really an experiment sort of thing to find the flavors that you're most fond of. And the best way to get to know an herb is to start a plant and grow it. And I always say that I guilted myself into using herbs because I started planting a different variety of them, and I'd look at them on my deck every day and say, I need to do something with that. So, but back to your point on infused vinegars, that sort of thing. It's
and oils, I think, too.
Balsamics, the oils, the fine olive oils really do well. Rosemary is a wonderful thing. Tarragon is another one that goes really well with that. Tarragon is referred to as the king of the French herbs. So
I did not know that. I wonder, too, can you tell us the difference between using fresh herbs and the kind that we find in those little jars in our supermarket?
Oh, great, great question. The fresh herbs will have a much more vibrant, lively taste to them than the dried herbs, but I don't mean to disparage dried herbs because I do encourage people that grow them to dry them either in their oven or if they've got a food dehydrator, that sort of thing. Some of them you can cut and hang upside down and air dry as well.
Such as the rosemary, I think you can do that with those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, because I've seen sprigs of those.
Thyme as well. The general cooking ratio is 3-1, so you use 3 times as much fresh herb as you do dried herbs, just because when they're dried, they're much more concentrated, and it's a lot more intense, so...
Well, speaking of intense, you know, I really appreciate you giving us this primer in herbs. And again, we're on location at the Washington County Fair, one of my favorite fairs in the entire year. We're talking with Randy Franke, and he is a master gardener who has been in the program with the University Extension from 2019 to the present day. When you volunteer and you have people that are asking you the most basic questions, does it kind of surprise you that some people really don't have any idea about growing things?
It really doesn't. I think
we've kind of gotten away from it. I mean, we're standing on an agricultural, historical, 151 years of history here, and there's still people, they just don't have a background in growing things.
We're so close to the metro area, and there's so many folks that didn't have like the advantage that I did. I was born onto a dairy farm and started out with a family of grandparents and parents that farmed and gardened and that sort of thing. So it's just kind of in my DNA to do that. And it's very understandable for people that are in metro areas that might not have that same background and same appreciation. But herbs are a wonderful way to get into gardening because you can start them and keep them in a pot no bigger than a 10-inch pot on your deck, on your patio, on your front step sort of thing. And I always say keep them as close to your kitchen as possible so you're likely to use them and try them.
Is there a specific type of soil that herbs do best in?
Loamy soil is good to use, or you can get potting soils from your local garden centers.
Okay, and so that's something that's going to have good drainage. And also, speaking of drainage, we want to make sure that you have a hole in the bottom of your pot or a saucer or something like that so it's not standing in water, because I'm sure that these, just like most other plants, roots will rot.
That's exactly right. So good drainage. You can also take a little bit of styrofoam packing material and put in the bottom of the pot before you put the soil in to help promote drainage. And it also keeps the pot a little bit lighter for you to move around.
Oh, that's always going to be a good benefit. Thanks. Well, we have tried getting a little bit more familiar with herbs, and Randy Franke, thank you so much for the time that you've had this morning here at the Washington County Fair. We've learned a lot. And before we go, tell us your favorite herb.
Tarragon.
And why?
It goes so well with pork and poultry and so many things. And it's an anisey flavor. It's like intense basil.
Intense basil. And remember, you want to protect those basil plants from the Japanese beetles. There, I said it. You have a net bag that you can put over them. You might sacrifice a little bit of the vibrant green. They might take on a little bit of a light green color, but it's certainly worth it if you're going to be able to harvest that basil and put it into your favorite stews or stocks. And thank you so much. We will be looking forward to next year when we come out to the Washington County Fair. Your University of Minnesota Ag Extension office, there's a great website. And we are going to be saying goodbye for this part one of the Washington County Fair at the Master Gardener booth here on the grounds. And thanks, Randy Franke, for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Today's program has been a visit to the Washington County Fair and the Minnesota Ag Extension Master Gardener's booth. If you have a chance to come here, it's the most wonderful use of your time. And as I found out on our recent visit, it's hard to get away. There's so much to look at, from shrubs and trees to pest care to design ideas to ideas for pollinators, butterflies, bees. There's people who are talking about herbs. They're talking about standing things up on trellis. Almost anything that you could imagine for having an outdoor space and cultivating something that you'd like to grow is here at the Washington County Fair. I'd like to thank the Washington County Master Gardener Program for sharing some of their time with me as I wandered through their display. It's really something to see. It's a year-round endeavor for these volunteers, I must say. And we enjoyed speaking with Board Director Linda Nelson and also relatively new member Daniel Sikinick and also Randy Franke. And he was telling us all about herbs. So our special two-part Washington County Fair extravaganza, it's something that I enjoy every single year. And I hope that you enjoyed listening to some of the expertise that they had to share. If you have interest in becoming a Master Gardener, take a look at the U of M EDU Ag Extension page. So much information, so much good things to get you growing again. And you've been listening to In the Garden. I'm your host, Kelly Casey. We'll see you next week.
And picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need to grow my own, 'cause the time is close at hand.